Welcome to Faith Over Breakfast. You are listening to a podcast by Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. If you enjoy Faith Over Breakfast, we encourage you to rate it on the Apple Podcast app, on Spotify, or Google Play. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Healing the City. I have way too many podcasts. Guys, welcome to Faith Over Breakfast with Andy and Eric, both pastors of churches in Tucson. If you have been listening, you know all about us.
Since you get to call out your other one, I'll say Odd Church Podcast.
There you go. We've got Mission Odd Church. Yeah. You guys haven't done many podcasts recent.
No, you're far more prolific than me.
Get on that. I like those Odd Church Podcasts. All right, so we have lots of podcasts, but today we talked about Andy's article, and what was the title?
Well-equipped Christians are checking out when churches need them the most.
Yes. So that's an interesting conversation, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Erica had a lot of great insight for me. I feel like I was honored that he read the article and had thoughts. So cool. I hope you all get a lot out of it, too.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
Hey,
Andy Littleton.
Hello.
Welcome to Faith Over Breakfast.
Thank you.
These are the speed podcasts.
Yeah, that's
they're
right.
They're quick. They're efficient. They get right down to the point.
Finally. See, this has been my strategy.
This is your strategy.
To get rid of all the fluff, I've just arrived late, leave early, and tell you, look, I've got about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. So here we go. We're going to talk about your article on the Medium. Is that what they're called?
Medium.com.
Medium.com.
Which is...
We will post links to the many articles, apparently, that Andy writes on this lovely...
You don't have to post links to all of them. I mean, you can if you want.
Well, you know, you can search his name once you get on the website.
That's right. They kind of just auto-populate once you... Click on me.
Yeah, so you wrote a recent article. Will you give us the title to this article?
Well-equipped Christians are checking out right when the church needs them the most. Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Premise of this article is that out of some of your own experience recently over the last year or so, you've had a number of people show up at your church who are young, seeking faith, not necessarily people who have been doing that prior.
Right.
Anyway, you've had a number of them. And then you also have this other stream of people you've engaged with in your world and networks where they're older Christians and they're no longer going to church. They've been in the church for a long time. They know all the stuff. They're, as you would call them, well-equipped.
And I tried to choose my words wisely, because well-equipped, meaning that doesn't speak to their character or whatever.
It's
because there's so much variety.
Sure.
I feel like I need to pitch in here because
I read the article. I thought I'd give a summary and then you could fill in.
No, thanks. I just, on that word, I just want to sort of say, if you know me and you are listening to this and you haven't been going to church and you're thinking, wow, he wrote this about me. I didn't, but maybe. No, just...
Come on, Andy.
Well, here's my point.
Look, just bring the haymaker out.
Here's
swing.
My point. This came from a number of conversations over several years.
Yes.
I've been thinking about this for a while and thinking I see a dual movement. And of course, the end of the article... I kind of land on something that's slightly uncomfortable for me, as you probably know from talking before. And I kind of landed on saying, I think there's something in spiritual places causing this. This isn't just merely, some people are interested and some people are checked out. And I wasn't just talking about our church. When I'm talking about these people giving up on church, it's not just ours. They're just kind of going, I can't do any of it. Or, I don't feel like doing any of it, or something of that nature. So I was not just talking about our church, wasn't just picking on a couple people. I know this is a long list of people that I've engaged with over several years.
Right, and so you're saying there are this group of older people, which I would probably venture to say are Gen Xers.
There's a lot of Gen Xers. This is why I need to talk to you about this, Eric. These are your people.
They're my people.
I mean, because some
maybe a little older.
And I'm a cuspy somewhere between Gen X and Millennial. But there's people my age,
yeah,
and up, and in our context, in our church, I don't see this so much with kind of our parents' generation. Except my mom kind of might fit the category, but for her it's that she's doing church online on TV now.
Mm.
Yeah. So she still feels committed, but she's not in relationships outside of our family,
right,
at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't writing it about her or her generation per se, but I suppose it could be applied. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But more, yeah, Gen X.
Yeah.
Especially. So, okay, thanks for reading it. What'd you...
I read that and the article about bad religion. Interesting. I like that article, too.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we could bring that one up from the dead sometime
yeah,
if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you read it. What do you think of that?
I don't think that there are a lot of Gen Xers who are well-equipped, even the ones that grew up in church, because there's two streams. One stream is you grew up in the seeker-sensitive church,
yeah,
which was absent of discipleship.
Yeah.
Or you grew up in this pattern of you were saved, and then your church taught law, not grace.
I see.
And
yeah.
So you're burned out because it wasn't intimacy. It was a law that you had to live under.
Eric, I think you're right. I think that the people I'm talking about, when I say well-equipped, that was a hard term to come up with. You know, to pick one that said somehow they, in theory, should have the internal motivation to stay committed through hard things,
sure,
and offer discipleship to others. But in truth, that may not be the case.
Yeah. Right. So the other thing, just if we're going to talk about Gen Xers, and I can speak as myself, there's a suspicion of the system. Like constant suspicion
100%.
Of it. Right? Because it failed us. And therefore, we're a smaller group of people than everyone else. So, we didn't do a great job of parenting. Mm. If you look at the data, we're not the best. Gen Xers are not the best parents. And we're talking about people. If your parents are, you know, in their 50s to mid 60s, then they're Gen Xers.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're at. They're either coming in onto retirement and they're thinking about retirement, or they're just sort of leaving their 40s and moving into their 50s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we haven't been great parents. I think we wanted to be friends with our kids.
Yeah.
Because our parents were very separate from us, or divorced, or, you know, we were the ones that originated the latchkey kid. So all that to say is I can see why even Christian Gen Xers, you know, are like, I'm kind of done with this. It's...
Do you think some of that same stuff carries over? They want to be friends with the church? Do you see any parallels?
I'll tell you what. I think the problem is if you're going to be a church that's going to attract people, like you're talking about, younger people, and people in my age group, you better be something completely different.
Uh-huh.
Because honestly, there's a line. I love fast food analogies when it comes to church. There's a line at In-N-Out.
Right.
There are cars. There's not a line at Jack in the Box. There's not really even a line at McDonald's. There's not a line at Burger King.
But Jack in the Box was different with the tacos.
Yeah, it's got the tacos. Right, but there's just something that's different, right?
Yeah.
And consistent. And I think that's part of the problem is we have a lot of churches that don't really... They're not. They don't teach grace, I don't think. I think grace is actually is missing.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah.
Because I think there's been a strong movement against what we would call cheap grace.
Sure.
Or you became a Christian and there was no discipleship and you don't know how to stand up to temptation. You don't know how to deal with hardship. You don't have an intimate relationship with God. You have a knowledge-based relationship with God. And knowledge is good because that helps, but it's not. There's not an intimacy a lot of times. There's a duty-oriented kind of Christianity I find in my generation for those who are stuck around.
Absolutely, and you can get burned out on that. I get it.
And if you were to say to one of them, "Hey, like, here's this 25-year-old. Why don't you minister and care for them? They would look at you with a blank stare. Nobody did that for them.
Oh, interesting. So here is another observation that I had in these conversations. It was actually that I every single one was different. Like I said, this is a wide variety of folks. But I tended to hear from them. What you were saying about the establishment in the system made total sense. I tended to hear from them. They gave up on it, they tried it, not working. Churches don't work.
Right.
Boards of elders don't work. Right. A number of them said things like, I've done that, been there, done that. I'm just done.
Right.
But the ones that I cared were in which I cared about the conversation the most and were ones where it felt like though they saw the younger generation and wanted them to know Christ deeply, it sounded like,
mm-hmm.
but wanted that to happen outside of what I would define as churches. I've seen this movement. Now, some of them would define what they are doing as churches. So what I mean by that would be like, well, I'm getting together with some people for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing our church
sure.
there. And to me that I see elements of the church in that, but I think there's a lot missing.
Hmm.
So there's one. And then the others were kind of saying that needs to happen, but like churches just aren't getting it done. So I'm just investing in my family or yeah. something like that.
Sure.
But usually it sounded more like traveling. Like, I'm just trying to spend more time with my family.
Right.
We're super busy, so we're traveling. That one came up a number of times from a number of different angles.
Sure.
And so there seemed to be this stated desire that the people I was sharing about would be cared for, but kind of like, well, I'm doing a small version of that.
Yeah.
So can't help you.
Right.
That's how it felt in a way to me. Now, again, a lot of variety. What do you think of that? Does that fit? Because you were saying they might give you the blank stare. Nobody did that for me. I was kind of seeing a number of these folks actually caring about that deeply, but also going, but I'm not willing to, I can't take the risk of getting back involved with anything that is organized.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's postmodernism yeah. in there. There's
sure.
A, yeah.
Sure. There's some of all.
Excuse me.
there's some of all that in there. I want to just be blunt. If you want to reach my generation, you're going to have to be like the village.
Yeah.
I mean that's just simply, you're not going to and part of and, reach and, us if otherwise.
And you are doing a good. I think your church defies that to some degree.
We have a lot of people part of why, my age.
Part of why I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, I think part of it is, and I'm not. We're not perfect at this, and it's just this is my thoughts on it. You want people to be part of something, then you're going to have to be inspiring. You're going to have to be authentic, and you're going to have to really work hard to do it differently.
Yeah,
because you're working like up against an uphill battle. Like
yeah.
you're not. This is not a downhill slide when it comes to bringing in older people who have some wisdom and some gravitas. They're gonna, and part of that is you're going to have to be like, okay, well, we're going to actually care for you the way we're caring for the younger people. And it's not just you come in and there's an obligation to you as an older person to minister to the younger people. No, we're going to create an environment where that happens both ways and yeah. where the responsibility isn't just put on your shoulders.
Yeah. How important was it? I like that. And I think that is true, the mutuality. How important was it that you had a leader that was older than you much of the way? This is something I do not have.
I think that, I think probably for the first 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, once you turn 40, things change.
Yeah.
As to who's going to listen to you.
Just barely, you know.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how that goes. I just turned 40.
Yeah. I guarantee just from my own perspective, if a 25-year-old gets up and he speaks like the best sermon ever,
And you go, and yeah, but do you really?
You're right.
Yeah.
But then the 35 or 40-year-old or 50-year-old preaches a sermon and it's just mediocre. I'm going to learn more there and be more engaged just because of what the gravitas of age brings. And that wisdom.
Drove me crazy when I was younger, but I know.
Yeah, it's part of me too. It's part of the deal. You have to work twice as hard. But I think I'm just going to say that in general, part of what Gen Xers are upset at is that the church itself over the years has been lazy. Mm-hmm. Or has just tried to jump on fads.
Yeah.
And to try to, the whole point is, how do I grow a church?
Yeah.
And how do I make it bigger? And how do I get it to be, to support its,
Yeah. And
the institution
and money
itself.
I thought about, this was a thought I had, is next time I have a conversation with one of those folks, to just say, hey, by the way, if you came and invested in these younger people, I'll give you a hiatus from giving. You don't even have to. That's not what I'm asking for.
Well, I'll tell you.
But then again, we are broke. But still, but you don't have to.
But I mean, at the Village, like the Gen Xers are, they're the people who make this happen.
Oh, yeah.
And they care about it. Yeah. But if you care about something, you put your money into it.
And more what I would say is I would want some folks to come, begin discipling, begin to care, and then make that decision out of that, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think you got to see you have to see your children being changed. That's key.
Hmm.
When your children are changing in a space, then you want to be in that space with them. I think that's a big deal. I think my generation is now at the spot where we're like, oh, okay, well, my kids are, they're in their late teens or early 20s or mid-20s.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with my life? I barely made it through to here. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Like a lot of kind of what should I do?
Yeah.
And if the church isn't going to inspire me, and honestly, this is what, and you may think that this is, if your church, and I don't mean just your church, in general, but if your church is not attracting Gen Xers, there's a problem with your church.
No.
It's not the problem with the Gen Xers.
Okay. Tell me about this. Teach me.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. I used to, early in our church, we used to get people who would come, who are Christians, and they would say to me, I love the teaching at your church. I love the community. I love all these things. And I can't find it at this other church I'm going to, but the worship music is amazing at this church.
Yes.
And I would say, this is a typical answer I would give them back. Well, that's not true. If there's not good community and there's not good preaching and all these things, or you don't like those things, then maybe the worship music actually isn't that good.
Sure.
Right? Because part of this is like, if it's each thing is not individual. And so as the community church offers something, it's discipleship, it's worship, it's speaking, it's community engagement, all of that has to be in a place where when I step into it, I'm like, oh, God is here and I'm being called.
Yeah.
Right? And when those people go out from there, they're saying this space of gathering inspires this scattering, and I want you to be here, Mom. I want you to be here, Dad. I want you, Uncle, Aunt, Grandma. Like, there's this, like, I want you to see this and how it's changed me, and what God has done here. And I think that it's hard for grandparents and parents to say no to their children when their children have been changed by Jesus. It's just hard.
Here's an interesting little, as you were saying that, I just thought, there's a number of the folks that I'm, the younger ones now, that I'm thinking of, that there's one of two things are true. Either their parents are not excited because they're not Christians.
Right.
Actually kind of nervous.
Right.
Like we had, a dad come for his son's baptism. And I think it was just a confused, like, he wasn't like, I think he was there because he wanted to be there for his son, but was also going, what's happening here? I don't know. I think he was uncomfortable with it all. And then another thing would be, so I've gotten emails, letters from parents asking me to like help with their children.
Yes,
in Tucson.
We used to get those a lot.
But interestingly, those parents aren't here. So
they aren't in Tucson?
Not in Tucson.
Right.
So there's a lot less of the families being in the same space. And so that's a lot of younger people that find their way to us I've noticed are not living where their family lives. They're in a way looking for some community or something outside of where their family is. And so their family following them.
Yep.
I'm trying to think if there's any.
That's part of it.
I don't know. So we will have parents visit with their kid mm-hmm. and be like thankful.
Sure.
But they aren't here. They aren't sticking because they don't live here.
Right. And I think I would say maybe when I talk about parents, I'm talking about it sort of as a metaphor, not as a direct thing.
Or people in that, like,
yeah.
Who would go, these are people like my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I think there are a lot of us Gen Xers who don't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, most of us are pagan, so
this is maybe what I'm saying.
Is, and yeah. so part of it is how do you reach my generation? Yeah. I mean, that's been the question since the early 80s.
Yeah,
we've been trying to figure out how to get Gen Xers to be part.
And so, and you've already been talking about the, how you've done that.
Sure.
But and you've been working on this for a long time. So just restate that, though. I think I want to hear it again.
Well, I think Gen Xers have decided that everything is bad. For good or bad or ill, it's just been bad and they're suspicious of it. So they insist, you see it in all of our entrepreneurs who are in that age group, of them reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
Everything has to be reinvented. And so, you know, we're the forces behind all the things like YouTube and all these things. Like, we started all of this. Some of it is... I mean, we're not in control of it anymore, but we were the influences behind it. So I think churches, I mean, have to reinvent everything. And what I see when I look at churches who plant is they're not really reinventing. They're just changing the dressing on the outside of the church.
Now, here's an interesting thing is a lot of, I think, Gen Z, now there's again, a lot of variety, but one of the movements I've noticed in some of these folks has been a seeking after what used to be. You see this in like design trends, like the grand millennial aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I've probably talked about that here before, where you've got like the millennials are buying like things their grandparents owned.
Yes, and, yeah.
Well, and stuff like
did
that.
Did I tell the coffee story on here?
Yeah, I don't remember.
About Folgers?
Oh, yeah,
ad,
I've heard that.
That ad process and how they reinvigorated their business.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's the same stuff. There's this, like, my generation and younger are looking back at grandparents who seemed like they had stability, and they're cherry-picking things off the very tip of the iceberg that were the stabilizing factors, mm-hmm. such as their rocking chair or their coffee. And they're trying to like connect with that because they want that experience of stability. But that's happening with church too.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so I think a lot of the like high church, like some of it is not necessarily for the deeper reasons.
Sure.
So there's this. So younger folks aren't necessarily looking for the reinvention. So somehow you've got to create something that works for people who want it reinvented and people who.
Well, but I think this is something that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, ancient future faith.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you go to the village, it's all creeds and confessions. Yes. And
I was going to bring up, like, you guys do have
so
both.
It's like grabbing the ancient and having completely reinvented something.
Yeah. It's a hybrid of reinvention and ancient.
Right. And I mean, I think the hard part, if you want to jump into the postmodern world, even though it's frustrating, I think, for people sometimes, you got to rename a lot of things.
Yeah.
And use different language.
Yeah,
because that creates community.
Yeah,
it does, and in some ways, you're buying a little bit into the tribalism of things. And this is my tribe. I mean, as Christians, we have to learn for how our tribes engage one another and not isolate. But still, we have to have a tribal identity. And I think, you know, I can go to most churches in Tucson, and they fit in one or two categories, maybe three.
Yeah,
and they are exactly the same. And the sermons are the same, and the music is the same, and the cookies and coffee is the same, and the carpet's the same, and Sunday school's the same. Well, you can only go there so long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. I totally see that. And I think, what was I going to say? Yeah. Anyway, I like, I like what you're saying. I think the fusion of the two is important to bring these two groups together.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're still learning how to do that.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult process. I think some of it is if you have some Gen Xers in your group or your community, that you actually spend some time with them and teach them how to disciple and invite them into something deeper in their relationship with Jesus and get them ready to care for people.
This has been my missing demographic for a while.
Yeah.
So we, it's...
But you got some 40-year-olds in your church, right?
Few.
They're close to Gen Xers.
Man, very few. Yeah. But yeah, few. Some.
You used to have more, I thought, in the beginning.
Well, my wife and I, who just turned 40, for a while were the oldest. Then there was a merger.
Right.
And there was just a couple. We have a few Gen Xers. But not very many, and haven't. It's always been our, when you looked at our little graph on our software where we keep everybody's names and stuff, there was this big leap in the 20s and 30s, and then the 40s and 50s was really low, and then we had a couple older people that came around. Yeah. And that's still true.
And you said, I think on last podcast, that you felt like you were replanting in some ways.
Oh, we totally are. Even right now, I think we have to adjust to this new reality. And that's part of my longing is to have, I'm not trying to be even with my article, it's not meant to be like a heavy critique. Like at the end of the day, there's a longing behind it. It's just like, I want comrades to care for these people.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that I think about, because we've had recently a number of teenagers coming on their own to come to the village.
Yeah.
And then bringing their parents.
Yeah.
And what I have noticed, the reason that they fit in, and then at the same time, we've had a number of people who could be their parents come in. And each one of those have found a space within weeks in our community, because there is space to impact it and change the narrative. So here's a perfect example. We have he's a special ed teacher. He's about my age, maybe a little older, and his wife have been coming. And they've been here maybe 2 months. They've already cooked twice. And he came up to announce what we were going to eat. And he said, oh, we have free-range noodles, which meant gluten-free. Well, that name all of a sudden took on like a whole...
Yeah.
Part of the ethos. Now it is part of the village. Free range noodles. There's no more gluten free noodles in our church. They are free range.
Yeah.
That's a very simple thing, but it is really significant. And that he could come in a couple months and influence the culture.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a big part of what brings most people from old to young, is if you can step in and impact the culture right away, then you belong there and you own it.
And I assume there's a sense that they're not gonna like change major things that are core to the church.
No.
But they can make tweaks just by who they are that are actually felt and seen in
that. And if they make little ones, that tells them that maybe they could make
bigger ones.
They'd be heard.
Yeah.
On the bigger ones.
Mm.
And I think that's a big deal.
Okay.
For people.
I gotta wrap it up right here, man.
Yeah, man, this is just
lightning.
Boom. We're done.
It was good, though. Thanks. We got to the point. Look at that. It's kind of what...
Yeah. So I will put a link to this article and...
Appreciate it.
Cool.
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. You can always email us topics or your responses, angry comments. Eric's better at handling those if you want to just put his name in there.
Yeah, that's true.
At faithoverbreakfast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Andy's sensitive. You've been listening to Faith Over Breakfast with Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. Please share us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you.